Wolf Herd's early hires were people she knew. Two Tinder designers, her sorority big sister, a friend of a friend from SMU, a family friend of her husband's, and so on. Around the office, they were known as the OGs. In 2017, Bumble moved into a squat, sunshine yellow building with plush couches and honeycomb-shaped shelves for an effect that fell somewhere between a 60s cocktail lounge and a blow-up bar. Instead of perks such as foosball and congenerators, Bumble offered free manicures. At the time, the company had about 40 employees and was 82% white. Bumble's message of female empowerment earned it a flurry of positive press. Bumble is changing the face of dating apps, Harper's Bazaar declared, when the app wasn't yet 3 weeks old. Within a year and a half, it reported 5.6 million users. At 2 years, that figure had almost doubled. As Bumble took off, Wolf Herd, who'd never given up on her idea of a female-only social network, looked to expand. In 2016, the company introduced BFF, a version of the app for people who wanted to make friends. A year later, it added Biz, a professional network that Wolf Herd described in an interview as empowered LinkedIn. As millennial women grew more politically vocal during and after the 2016 presidential election, Bumble reflected their mood, becoming more brazenly feminist. Its social media posts changed from cutesy quips, "Be the hot ex-girlfriend your ex-boyfriend stalks on Instagram," to information about Planned Parenthood fundraisers, mini rants about the pay gap, and inspirational quotes from Gloria Steinem. In New York, subway cars were plastered with Bumble ads that said, "Be the CEO your parents always wanted you to marry." The day after Christine Blasey Ford testified in September 2018 that as a teenager, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh had sexually assaulted her, the New York Times ran a full-page Bumble ad that said, "Believe women."